We're going to be reading from Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 25 through 27. This is a familiar passage to many of you. It's a passage that Roger referred to last week, and the Lord had it on my heart all week long. So let's look at it together. Let's stand out of reverence for God's Word. Beginning of verse 25, the Lord says, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Father, speak to us now by the Holy Spirit. Lord, touch our hearts. Work and do what we as humans cannot do. By the power of your Spirit, we pray. And the people of God said, Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I want to bring a message to you this morning about why you and I want the Holy Spirit. About why you and I want and need desperately the Holy Spirit. And there's a main point to this message, and I'll share that, but I hope that this will be something more than just another message that I preach to you, that God will use this to challenge and touch and minister to people. And really the main point, the simple point of this message is this, that God has a plan for you. And his plan is for you to live an abundant life, a blessed life. But in order for that to happen, we have to be filled with his Spirit and surrendered to his Spirit in our lives. God has a plan for you. God has an abundant life for you. Jesus said it. In John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. The NIV translates it, have it to the full. I've come that you may have a full life, an abundant life. And my question is, for so many of us, why aren't we experiencing that? Why aren't we experiencing it? And I think there's some reasons that we'll see here in the Scripture. My goal is to show you the benefit of being indwelt with, being filled with, being led by the Holy Spirit. My goal is to stir up hunger in you, a desire for the Holy Spirit and His fullness in our lives. You see, we can be overcomers in whatever we're going through. We can be overcomers if we have the overcomer living in us. We can be. No matter what you're going through, even if you're facing cancer, if you're facing destruction, if you're facing bankruptcy, or things are going well in your life, things are going okay, that can be a trap too. We can be lulled into apathy when things are going along very, very well. As you get older in life, it's easy to become cynical. It's very easy. That's part of the reason I like to hang around young people a lot. And it keeps me young and it keeps me fresh, because young people have a lot of idealism, and that's good. We need that. They believe that things can change. And, of course, in many of our lives, we've been through life for decades and decades and not much has changed. Well, guess what? God tells us that he's doing a new thing. God says, doesn't say that I'm just going to keep on doing the old thing that I've always done. No, he says, I'm going to do a new thing. And I think part of that includes a new aspect, a new ministry in your life and in my life. God wants to do a new thing. As we look at the Old Testament here, from Ezekiel and before, the Old Testament, watch this. You still with me? Say amen. This is not a time for napping. The next point that I have on there is this. The Old Testament is a story of failure. In large part, the Old Testament is a story of failure. A failure of God's people. You see, God communicated His covenant with His people. God communicated His desire. He communicated His ways. He communicated His commands with them. We know that He even wrote with His own finger the commands on the stone tablets. And He gave them to His people. It was a covenant, an agreement. And God said, I will do this. You will be my people, and I will walk with you, and I will be your God. But you are to obey me. And you are to have no other gods before me. And we know the commands. You are not to worship and bow down to false idols. You are to honor me first. You are to honor my Sabbath, and so on. Those were the commands. And God said, I want you to follow these ways. Why? Because I want to bless you. Brother Roger brought it up beautifully last week. Because I want to bless you. I want you to walk in blessable ways. I want you to walk in my ways so that you do well, you prosper, and you are blessed in your life. And if you will walk in my ways, says the Lord, if you will follow my commands, you will be blessed. And by the way, that hasn't changed. If we'll walk in God's ways, we'll be blessed. But over and over again, the people of God failed to follow His ways. They would say, as they said in Exodus chapter 21, oh yes, Lord, we will obey You. We will follow all Your commands. We will do exactly what You say because You sent Moses, Your servant, to us. And he's given us Your laws, O Lord, and we will do as You say. And a few days later, after Moses is up on the mountain and he does not come down, they'll say, where is this Moses fellow? What's happened to him? Let us make gods that we may bow down to them. And they make the golden calf with the help of Aaron, their spiritual leader. And they bow down to this golden calf and they say, this is the God that brought us up out of Egypt. The story of the Old Testament is a story of failure because God's people constantly failed. And we just saw here in verse 26, the Lord states what the problem is. The Lord says, you have hearts of stone. You have hearts of stone. And He says, I want to take that heart of stone out of you, and I want to give you a heart of flesh. And I want to move your heart so that you will obey my commands and you will follow my ways. And so as we say this about the people of Israel, guess what? We're just like them. We're no different. We have hearts of stone. And even if God has worked in us to bring about a heart of flesh, unless we surrender that heart every day, then we will live in the ways of the flesh. We will live in the ways of our natural flesh, the natural man that is at enmity against the commands and the ways of God. Jesus said this in John chapter 2, verses 24 through 25. Jesus did not entrust Himself to people, for He knew all people. He did not need any testimony about mankind, for He knew what was in a person. One translation, I believe it was might have been the New Living Translation, said He knew what was in the heart of people. God knows what's in our hearts. And that's the problem, isn't it? It's our hearts. The Word says in Jeremiah 17:9 that the heart of man is desperately wicked and there is no cure. Who can know it? Who can understand it? Think about that for just a second. The heart of man is desperately wicked and beyond cure. Who can know it? So, I hope I've painted a very bleak picture for you. I hope you at this moment are depressed. I hope that you're saying, boy, I'm in a heap of trouble. Lord, because I've got a heart of stone. My heart, Lord, is one of flesh that is not
always following what you have.
You see, the problem is our heart. And you see, if you're living your life by your natural heart, and the Scripture calls this, the center of our being, our heart. If you're living by your natural heart, you will live a life of failure. Oh, things may go well for you in earthly ways, right? But spiritually speaking, it will be a life of failure, at the very least shallow. How many of you know you can have a decent life and still not live a spiritual life? There's people all around us that are doing it. And guess what? We have a lot of unbelievers, a lot of people who do not necessarily follow Christ, and they look at us and they say, well, you supposedly have Christ living in you, and you're pretty messed up, so why should I follow Christ? I think they have a valid point. I think they have a valid question. Why don't we see more victory in our lives? Why don't we see more overcoming? Why don't we see more abundance in our life? I think it's a fair question. You may be successful by worldly standards, but not successful in the ways of Christ. And even if you've come to Christ and you're saved and God has begun a work in your life, we can still have the indwelling Spirit of Christ in us and still live to our flesh, the natural heart, our fallen nature. Later on, and you guys know this passage from Paul, who writes in Romans chapter 8, if your life, your mind is governed by your corrupt nature, this is Romans 8:9, then it is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's laws. Indeed, it cannot. It cannot do so. The natural mind. I've heard a lot of people say, well, you know, Pastor, I'm just following my heart. You know what? You're heading for trouble. You're heading for a lot of difficulty and a lot of heartache. Because when you follow just your heart, it will lead you astray. Because the heart is wicked. And when the Scripture says, who can know it? You see, we can't even know our own hearts. We think that we understand our heart. We think that we do. But all of a sudden something happens. You're like, man, I didn't know I was so wicked. I didn't know I was so messed up. I didn't know that my heart could lead me down this path. And Lord, I'm crying out to you now because I've made a mess of things. Things aren't going as I thought they would. You cannot live this new life out of your old heart, out of your old mind, the old nature, the flesh. You cannot. You cannot. And you see, when we say this word here that God has a plan for us and He wants to bless us and He wants to give us abundance, this plan comes out of His Word. It's not something that we just make up and say this. No, it comes out of His Word here. And so God has a plan for us. God had a plan all along. And here in Ezekiel 36, it's stated. It was already stated in chapter 11, verse 20. And watch this. God states this plan when His people are in exile. They're under discipline. Brother Bob Benner sent me a question this morning. He said, Pastor, the Lord used these ungodly nations to take the people Israel into exile, to judge them, to conquer those nations. Why do we think that is? Why would God's covenant people, people who have His laws, have His ways, and then God brings pagan people who don't have His laws and don't have His ways, and He brings them in to chastise, discipline His own people. Why would He do that? Well, think for a moment. And I'm kind of answering your question, Bob, in my message. Didn't plan on it. Why? Well, because they would think, God's plan is that His covenant people would think, wow, God's using these pagan peoples who don't have His law. He's using them to discipline me. Why is that? It's because as His covenant people, I am more wicked than the pagan people around me. I am more unfaithful to God than the pagan people around me. They don't have God's laws. I do. God's people, we have His laws, and we are still disobeying. And we're living in ways that put pagans to shame. And so God uses ungodly, pagan people to come in and chastise his people. Then he turns around and judges those pagan peoples as well, because God is a God of justice. So we fast forward. As God states his plan here, God states his promise here, that I'm going to give you a new heart. I'm going to clean you up. I'm going to give you a heart of flesh rather than a heart of stone. And I'm going to cleanse you from your impurities, cleanse you from your idols. I'll give you a new heart and put my spirit in you. We fast forward. And Jesus speaks of the coming spirit, John chapter 14. And then in Acts 2, when the coming of the Holy Spirit upon the church that has been gathered, and now the new church is born, the church of God, the church of Christ is born, born of the Spirit. And Peter declares this gift of the indwelling Spirit of Christ is for all of us. It's for all of us. By the way, let's remember that the Holy Spirit is Christ's Spirit. It's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit is God's Spirit and Christ's Spirit. So when we say, well, I've accepted Jesus and come into my life, well, he comes in by his Spirit. Amen? He comes in and lives by his Spirit. And that's the reason we have such difficulty with this, because we're so fleshly, we're so earthly, and God is Spirit. And those that worship him, how do they have to worship him? In spirit and in truth. And this is part of the reason that we struggle. So Peter declares in Acts chapter 2, verses 38 through 39, he says at the end of his preaching, the preaching of the gospel of Christ, he looks at the people who have asked the question, what shall we do? And Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's the if part. Roger talked about it from Romans chapter 10 last week. Here's another aspect of the if. If we repent, and if we are baptized, every one of us, I'll say it again, as I said it probably 4 or 5 months ago when we were about to have a baptism. There's some people that are here, and you have been wrestling with this issue for years, and you still will not submit to believer baptism. Why? Because you have a heart of stone and an obstinate and stubbornness that God hasn't broken yet. And we know the principle that Jesus says. He said, be faithful in the small things, and then you will be given greater things. There's many of us here, we're still struggling with some of these basic elementary issues, and we're wondering why God won't move us on. We're wondering why God won't show us new things. We wonder why God won't allow certain things to resolve in our lives, because you have not yet submitted your life to Jesus Christ in that area. And that's just one area. Some of us need to come to Christ initially. We need to start this relationship. And the indwelling Spirit is what gives us that relationship with Christ. The indwelling Spirit comes, and as was prophesied here by the Lord himself, he cleanses us from all impurities. He cleanses us from our sins. He cleanses us from our propensity for idols. Any of you like me, where you tend to make idols out of certain things in your life? Man, I can sit and watch some reruns of 24 for hours on end. I can watch some reruns of Star Trek. And I just finished watching the Star Trek Discovery, the new series that's out. I can watch that for hours on end. There's an old song by Randy Stonehill. Put your brain in neutral. Turn on the television set. Kick off your shoes and don't worry. They haven't cut the power off yet. We can spend hours. And whatever it is, and we turn it into an idol because we're giving it our devotion. But come to Bible study, read the Bible, study the Bible. I had someone share with me just the other day. They said, you know, it's really hard. I get up and I'm just so lazy. And I know I need to get into the Word, but I don't do it. At least that person's being honest. We're going to get to that in just a minute. You see, here's why you and I want the Holy Spirit. Here's why you and I need and must have the Holy Spirit, because we want to develop our relationship with Jesus Christ, and we need a new heart. And we need that new spirit to be within us so that God can bless us, give us that abundant life that He has for us. And guess what? That looks different for every one of us. The way God works in your life and the abundance He pours out is going to look different than anyone else's. But it's still abundance. It's still overcoming. And when we surrender to Jesus, and that's what repent means, that I surrender to Jesus Christ, He gives us a new spirit and a new heart. I'm able to obey Him. I'm able to be blessed, and I bring Him glory. New life starts with the Spirit and continues with the Spirit. It's a walk in the Spirit every day. Jesus said in John 14, I'm going to send you another helper, another counselor. What did He mean by that? He meant another one just like Him. Another counselor, another helper, another comforter just like Him. See, because Jesus could not physically be with everyone at the same time. We were talking a little bit about this the other night at Bible study. That Jesus, even though if He ministered from sunup to sundown every day and ministered to thousands of people, think of the untold thousands that He could not minister to. And so He sends His Spirit. And His Spirit can indwell me. And His Spirit can indwell you. And His Spirit can minister to you. His Spirit can take the blessings and the promises of God, which are all yea and amen in Christ, and He can appropriate them into your life. And He can do His work in every one of us, multiply billions upon billions upon billions throughout this world. So let me ask you a question. Do you have a heart of stone or a heart of flesh? Have you come to Jesus, and have you surrendered and started this relationship? Because, number one, we must receive Christ, and we are indwelt with His Spirit. And the Spirit indwells us, and He cleanses us, and He gives us a new heart. That's where it starts. That's where it starts. If you're here today, and you haven't started that relationship with Jesus yet, this is why you want to. This is why you want to. The benefit is that the Spirit will indwell you, and the Spirit will cleanse you. Your sins will be forgiven. That weight will be lifted off of you. And you will have a new heart. The beginning of a new life and a new relationship. If you don't have Christ, you're walking this life alone. You might have family. You might have friends. But without Christ, we're walking this life alone. Because only He can cleanse and forgive and give us a new heart by the Spirit. Verse 25 in this passage speaks of that sprinkling, of that cleansing that the Spirit does. I will sprinkle clean water on you. This is symbolic in the Old Testament of cleansing. Several times there's places where water is used and sprinkled on the Levites, or in Leviticus was those who had skin disease. And we're told that you have to go to the priest, and the priest will sprinkle you with water. And that will ceremonially cleanse you. So let me ask you a question. What do you need to be cleansed from? Believer or unbeliever, what do you need to be cleansed from? See, the indwelling Spirit comes and He cleanses us. He applies the finished work of Christ to our hearts and our lives. And He cleanses us from uncleanness, from impurities, from idols. He does what we cannot do. You see, because our heart is the problem, right? Our heart's the problem. And God says, I will remove that heart of stone. I will give you a heart of flesh. He does spiritual surgery through the Holy Spirit. What does a heart of stone mean? It means a dead, hard, immovable heart. You ever dig up for a garden? When we were down in North Carolina, we decided we're gonna dig up a garden here in my backyard. My parents had always had a wonderful garden, and we enjoyed that, but I never really knew much about gardening. So I got out the shovel and I borrowed a rototiller and I started rototilling a whole section up there, and all of a sudden it went bam, hit something hard. There's this big rock. And try as I might, I could not move that rock. It was so hard. I had to dig deep all around it and use a pry bar and get down underneath it and pry it out. What's that a picture of? It's a picture of your heart and a picture of my heart. Only the Spirit of God can do that surgery and remove that heart of stone. And He puts in a heart of flesh, which means that is a soft, pliable, living, moldable heart in the hands of the Spirit of God. Number two, we want the Holy Spirit because the reality of it is we do what we want to do. We do what we want to do. Let me ask a question. How many of you set an alarm in the morning for work or school or whatever it is you may be doing? How many of you set an alarm? Show of hands. Why do we set an alarm? We want to wake up, right? Why? Because we want to get there. Or at least we have to get there. May not want to get there, but we have to get there, right? We do it because it's important to us. It's a priority. If it's work, I owe, so off to work I go. If it's school, I'm hoping that I can be educated enough so that I can get a good job and earn a living and so on and so forth. It's important to us. So let me ask you another question. This comes up from a discussion I had with somebody just recently. How many of you set an alarm on Sunday morning so you can be here to meet with your God? There's a whole lot of hands that aren't raised. Why do we not set an alarm? Why do we not get up? Why do we miss? There's many reasons, but one of them is it's not important to us. For many people, it's not important. I had someone said to me, "Oh, Pastor, you know, we slept in last week." What? You can sleep till 9:30. Throw some water on your face and get here by 10. And if you come in a little bit late, we won't say anything. You're going to miss the bagels because we're cutting them off. 10:02. That's why I want you to get here breakfast at 9:45. But you see, what's important to us? It's that which we do. And see, so the Lord has a solution to this. Watch this. He wants to change your heart. He wants to change your heart. But why is it that we have many Christians, people who have the Spirit of God in them, and yet things do not change year after year after year? Why do they not change? It's because we are not surrendering to the Holy Spirit every day. So number two, we want the Holy Spirit because of what He can do in us. He can change us. He will change our want to. And so we must surrender every day to the Spirit's leading. The Spirit indwells us and then He moves us to follow God's commands. Isn't that what God says here? He says in verse 26, "I will put my Spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and my ways and to be careful to keep my laws." This is a very interesting word here. The word "move you" means He will cause it to happen in you. He will accomplish it in you. And so the Holy Spirit begins to change us. You know why God can say to you and me that if you put Him first, if you delight in Him first, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will do what? Give you the desires of your heart. You know why God can say that? Because when He comes in by His Spirit, He changes the desires of our hearts. He does. Little by little, He changes the desires of our hearts. And so, you don't have to clean yourself up. God does that for you. There's many people that think, "Oh, well, you know, man, I just need to get over this one more thing here, and then I'll be acceptable to God, and then I can come to God." No, 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 no. Don't wait. Come to Christ and let the Spirit of God clean you up, cleanse you, and begin to change your heart. Begin to change your want to. He will do it. But we must surrender to Him every day. Every day. Every day. If you've been a believer for some time, He wants to lead us into the good works that He has prepared for us in Christ beforehand. Remember that? From Ephesians chapter 2, it talks about how He has saved us by grace, verses 8 and 9, for it is by grace you are saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, lest anyone would boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Isn't that awesome? God has works, good works, for you and I to do as believers. And He will lead you in those. He will lead you into what He wants to do in your life and what He wants to do through you. He will do that. But we must surrender. We must submit to Him, because the Spirit will do it as we obey. Trust and obey, for there is no other way to be happy in Jesus except to trust and obey. Last thing. Jesus said that the greatest command, which comes from Deuteronomy chapter 6, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And you see, when you come to Christ and you surrendered and led by His Spirit, you see, I want to love the Lord, and I do love the Lord. But I can't do that on my own. I can't. I will love myself and what I want to do and my way and my will. I will love that more than I love God. Amen? Say amen or oh me. Amen. Is the Spirit speaking to you this morning? I believe there's some here that come week after week after week, and you hear the Word, and God is speaking to you, and He's calling you to come, whether it's physically at this altar or lay it down in your heart, and yet we don't. We resist, and we hold on to that heart of stone. Jesus said, the second is like unto it, to love people, love others. And when you surrender to Christ and you're filled with the Spirit and led by His Spirit, you want to love others, as difficult as that is sometimes. And we are able to do the things that Christ calls us to do. Colossians chapter 3, it says, bear with one another. Bear with each other. Y'all have to bear with me. And I have to bear with you. It says, forgive one another. Even if you have grievances against one another, forgive one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. How can you do that without the Spirit's empowerment? How can we do this without the leading and fullness of the Holy Spirit? You can't. You will live life in the natural. Watch this. John chapter 16, verses 12 through 15. I believe Colin is going to read that for us.
I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify Me, because it is from Me that He will receive what He will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is Mine. That is why I said, the Spirit will receive from Me what He will make known to you.
There it is. You see, whether you have come to the place where you need to start this relationship, Jesus wants to reveal truth to you. And He wants to lead you and guide you in this truth deeper and deeper. And if you're already a believer, the reason you want to be filled with the Spirit, the reason you want to be surrendered, is because He wants to bring you deeper. He wants to reveal more and more truth to you day after day after day. I've been preaching for many, many, many years now. I remember the first sermon I preached, I think it was in 1979. I'm glad it wasn't recorded. Burn that thing. And yet, as I go through the Scriptures every week, as I'm in the Word and just praying and seeking the Lord, He shows me new things every day. Every day. Because the riches of His grace is so, so marvelous. He wants to show you and me new things. But He can't do it if we're not submitted and we're not filled. Someone asked me the other day, Pastor, how do you do it? How do you, every day, you seem so positive, and believe me, I have my moments. I have my moments just like everybody. But yeah, in the main, I have a positive outlook because God is my Father, Jesus is my Savior and my older brother, and He's poured out His Spirit. His Spirit lives in me. Man, it doesn't get any better than that. And so every day, I surrender. I surrender. I say these words every day. And you and I, we both need to say these words every day. Lord, I surrender to You today. Spirit of God, just like we sang the song, Spirit of God, I surrender to You. Fill me. Well up within me and fill me so that I can live this life. I can't live this life without Your power, without Your fullness. You and I need to do that every day. And if you're not doing it, then you're living life in the natural. You're living life out of your own heart, your own flesh, and it will be shallow at best. Let us live in the fullness of the Spirit. Let us live and keep in step with the Spirit. Time's not going to allow me to go any further. I have so much more I could say. But I know that the eternal gospel doesn't need an everlasting sermon. But I do want you to take this seriously and do business with God. We're going to take a couple of moments of quiet preparation, quiet time, and do business with God. Let's just go before Him right now. Thank you, Lord. If you're here and you know that your need is to surrender your life and start a relationship with Jesus, then we encourage you to open your heart, invite Christ in, and say, Lord, I want to start this relationship. I repent of my sin, my self-will, and I turn to You. Do that right now in your own heart. And then, believer, if you know there's an area that God is speaking to you about that is unsurrendered, or maybe you've just gotten lazy, lackadaisical, apathetic, and you need to recommit your life, resurrender, and receive a fresh touch, a fresh filling of the Spirit, then you do that right now. Tell God what you need. Say, Lord, I need Your touch. I need Your filling. Give me a fresh filling of the Spirit. Is that you? Do business with God today. Thank You, Lord. You are so faithful. Thank You, Lord, for ministering to all of us. Thank You, Lord. Let's stand and sing that song that we sang earlier, Spirit of the Living God, as a closing before the Lord, and sing it as a prayer unto Him. Spirit of the Living God, fall fresh on me. Let's sing it to the Lord. Spirit of the Living God, fall fresh on me. Spirit of the Living God, fall fresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Spirit of the Living God, fall fresh on me. If you need to come and pray with one of our leaders, one of our elders, one of our deaconesses, please feel free to do that at the end. Don't leave if you need to get something straight with God. You need someone to pray with you. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord walk with you, and may we walk with Him. Lord, go before us. Use us, as we just sang. Mold us, melt us, and then use us for Your glory and honor. Lord, we're excited at what you're doing. Do what you need to do, and do it in me. I pray it in Jesus' name, and all the people of God said, amen and amen. God bless you all. Have a great rest of the day. Members, or membership class in the library.